Should Wisconsin's minimum wage be raised and indexed to inflation? I'm Joy Cardine, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 6:36 on this Tuesday, September the 6th. We'll talk with a state lawmaker who is reintroducing a bill to increase the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $7.60 an hour and tie future hikes to hikes in the cost of living. We will welcome your questions and your views on this for State Representative Corey Mason at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or contact us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Corey Mason is a Democratic State Representative from Racine. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how were your Labor Day festivities in Racine yesterday?
They were great. We served a lot of bratwurst to a lot of local union supporters at the Racine Park, and big turnout this year, twice as many as last year.
Mm-hmm. And why are you saying that working families deserve a raise?
Well, you know, there's over 300,000 people who, for them, the minimum wage is their wage. And it's $7.25 an hour. If you were to work 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year with no vacation, you're talking about making right around $15,000 before taxes. And, you know, when I talk to people in my community who are making that wage level, they talk about how hard it is to make ends meet. And in a time when we're talking about valuing work and just coming off Labor Day, you know, we're in one of the most prosperous countries in the world, although we're in a tough recession. But, you know, if we're going to value work and value families, we need to make sure that when people are working and playing by the rules, that they have a wage that has a chance of getting them closer to getting out of poverty. So It's a modest 35 cents an hour that would hopefully get them out of a little bit closer to out of, it's about $50 a week in terms of an increase. But then, as importantly, it indexes it to inflation, because it's the only thing that we really debate about and have a vote about when it comes to the cost of living. You know, we have, when fuel goes up, we don't have a vote on it. When your health care costs go up, we don't have a vote on it. You know, we index our wages to the tax code every year to make sure that keeps up with inflation. But we make ourselves have a vote every year on, or every time we want to raise the minimum wage. And for people at the bottom of the wage scale, they fall further and further behind.
How much difference would this make, Representative Mason? Are that many families counting on minimum wage jobs for their livelihood?
Well, like I said, it's about 319,000 people who make minimum wage. More than half of those are people over 25, where they're the wage earner for their family. So, you know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people where this is what their wage is. So it's not just, oftentimes we'll hear people, well, isn't just this the teenager with the summer job working at the local ice cream stand? And that's some of it, but there's a lot of it, hundreds of thousands of people, where this is what their wage is. And again, if we're going to value work and what it means, and somebody's going to work full time, we ought to get people a little bit closer to getting out of poverty if they're going to be workers who play by the rules and are trying to make a living in this country.
One of your colleagues, Republican State Representative Robin Voss, says this is not the time to raise the minimum wage. He says raising the minimum wage would raise the unemployment rate, which is high enough already. What's your response to that?
My response to that is every time we go to raise the minimum wage, opponents say it'll cost us jobs, and every time we raise the minimum wage, it never has any impact on the employment rate. So, I mean, you can look back throughout history. Every time we've had the debate on raising the minimum wage, there's these dire predictions that a modest increase in the minimum wage is going to lead to all kinds of job loss, and it just doesn't happen. A 35-cent-an-hour impact is not what happens. You can find anecdotal evidence of somebody saying that, but you can also find anecdotal evidence of people saying, wow, I had employees stick around longer and had better retention because we were able to keep people at a slightly higher rate. So it just, history does not support that point of view.
But right now we are in a very tough time with the economy, and Representative Voss says right now businesses are having a very tough time breaking even. You don't think that's the case?
Like I said, history has not proven that to be the case. And, I mean, there's two things I would also say about that. We invented the minimum wage in this country during the Great Depression, right, when unemployment was more than twice what it is now, maybe even three times what it is now. The reason we did it is we knew that Americans wouldn't recover from the Great Depression if there was just a race to the bottom on wages, that you had to guarantee at least some minimum level, hopefully to keep people above poverty. Now, the minimum wage has fallen behind in its ability to do that, but the reason we did that is we wanted to make sure that there were fair wages for people and they weren't just negotiating themselves down to the bottom in a high unemployment environment. The other thing that happens when you raise the minimum wage is those people who make the minimum wage, they go buy stuff at their local grocery store, at their local retailers. Almost all that money is going to go directly back into the economy. So for those small businesses that are working about making ends meet and really need consumers to come in the door, the estimate by the Fiscal Bureau when we've introduced this bill in the past is that the state would see an increase of $3 million in tax revenue just from the increased spending of those wage earners at the bottom of the wage scale. So I understand the concern that's being raised. Again, history doesn't bear that out. We did the minimum wage in the height of the Great Depression, and it didn't have a negative impact on unemployment. In fact, help people get to a place where they could have the resources to buy things and get the economy going.
We are talking with Democratic State Representative Corey Mason from Racine, who is reintroducing a bill that would raise the state's minimum wage from its current $7.25 an hour to $7.60 an hour and index it to inflation. Do you support this idea or not? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny and mild. Highs today will be in the upper 60s to low 70s. Patchy fog tonight, lows upper 30s to mid 40s. And tomorrow, sunny and mild with highs mainly in the low to mid 70s. Currently, it's clear across much of Wisconsin, and it's on the cool side. Temperatures ranging from 38 degrees in Wausau to 50 degrees in Superior. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 6:45 now on this Tuesday, September the 6th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, some very flat national jobs numbers came out on Friday. And President Obama will address Congress with his jobs plan on Thursday. So we will talk more about what it'll take to create jobs coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. And we'll welcome your thoughts on that topic in our next hour. Right now, we are talking about a jobs-related question. Should Wisconsin raise the minimum wage and index it to inflation, future hikes to inflation? Corey Mason says yes. He is a Democratic state representative from Racine. And we will get to your calls right now. Hugh in Milwaukee starts us off. Hello, Hugh.
Hi. Now, the argument you've made for increasing the wage so that people could spend more and have a better life for their families and so forth. Well, why say $7.60? Why not $17 an hour minimum wage or $27 an hour? And when you think about it, you realize that that people would not hire anybody at those wages, especially for entry level jobs. The higher you make it, the less likely anybody is going to be hired.
Representative Mason?
Well, I'm not proposing raising the minimum wage to $17 an hour or $27 an hour, Hugh. That would certainly make it harder to hire people at that level. I'm talking about a 35-cent increase an hour and indexing it to inflation. There are millions of people employed in this state, and like I said, just short of 320,000 of them make the minimum wage. And I think that if we're going to value work and the work that people do, who are law-abiding citizens who play by the rules, we should have wages that at least try to keep up with the pace of inflation. And, you know, at a time in the economy where the very rich amongst us are the only ones doing well, it seems only fair that those who are at the bottom of the pay scale should see a modest 35-cent increase.
Yeah, but Doesn't Hugh have a point that there is a certain level that's going to discourage hiring? And how do we know when we've reached that level?
Well, I mean, sure, we could take like the Chinese model and have no minimum wage and have a race to the bottom. And I'm sure you could find people who would employ people for $2 an hour or $1.50 an hour or as little as possible and sort of let the free market decide these things. But the question is, if government's going to play the role of sort of referee and making sure that people who have jobs in this economy get a fair shake, part of that is having a minimum wage that should come close to getting people out of poverty. Now, if we were to actually introduce a living wage, that would be somewhere between $10 and $11 an hour, depending upon whose research you use. I'm not even proposing that. I'm proposing a very modest 35-cent an hour increase. We're talking about not even $50 a week for people who make minimum wage to be able to feed their family, buy groceries, deal with the increased cost of groceries and fuel and health care that everybody else has had to deal with at a very modest level.
Does that increase in the minimum wage result in higher prices for consumers?
It doesn't. I mean, if we were talking about a massive increase in wages for every worker across the board, you might see some inflation. But raising the wage for 35 cents an hour for, again, the lowest 320,000 people who make a wage in this state, most of whom don't work 40 hours a week, it's just not a big enough impact from the studies that I've seen to increase wages.
Our next caller, thank you, Hugh. Next is Lori in Waiawiga. Hello, Lori.
Hello, good morning. Fabulous show this morning. And Representative Mason, I applaud you for, again, introducing this legislation.
Thank you.
I wanted to call and let you know that it wasn't a week ago. I read an article, and I wish I could find, I'll see if I can't find it and put it on the Facebook page, perhaps, that actually confirms your argument. Raising the minimum wage does not raise unemployment. In fact, it lowers it, because as people go out and spend that $50 a week, all $50, because they don't have the money to put in savings, they increase demand, which increases the ability for businesses to put people to work. It's a total win-win, and no, it doesn't increase prices, because people are going and shopping, so volume increases. And so I totally applaud you, and I'll take your comments off the air.
You want to disagree with that, Representative Mason?
No, I mean, again, it seems counterintuitive to some people for some reason, but just to remind people, so for people who are making $7.25 an hour, if they're suddenly making $7.60, it's not as though they're going to take that money and invest it into the stock market. They're going to take that money and go to their local grocery store and buy food and buy diapers and buy baby formula and buy the things that families need to make ends meet, and they're going to pay sales tax on that, and local retailers are going to see the benefit of it. And I don't want, you know, the impact to the state is an additional $3 million in tax revenue that the state will tax or will receive from increased spending. So it's not a huge stimulative impact, but it is a stimulus impact, and it will result in retailers seeing the benefit of that in the state.
We are talking with Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine, who is planning on reintroducing a bill that would increase the minimum wage in Wisconsin from $7.25 an hour to $7.60 and tie future hikes in the minimum wage to hikes in the cost of living or the rate of inflation. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. If you have a view on this or a question about this, you can also send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our next caller is Dawn in Lafayette. Hello, Dawn.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
I'm a member of a small manufacturing company. Labor is over 50%, over 50% of our costs. That does not include any overhead for things like utilities, packaging, just the sheer cost of production. And none of our employees at this point are at minimum wage. If you raise, one point is minimum wage will raise the cost of goods. It can't help but do that if it's over 50% of the cost. Second, what happens is if you raise the minimum wage, and I'm making $9 as a semi-skilled worker, my skill has suddenly become worth less unless you raise my wages. Therefore, you have a exponential buildup in the cost of labor, which again comes back to the cost of goods. The only way I can stay in business, and I would like to eat also as a member of the ownership, is to raise my retail prices.
All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. Well, there's a counter argument, and one we hadn't heard much about is what about the wages of others who are above minimum wage?
Yeah, I mean, it has. Obviously, if you make $7.50 an hour now, and the minimum wage goes up to $7.60, you too would see a bump in your pay. It wouldn't just be those making $7.25. There are those who make somewhere between $7.25 and $7.60. I wish it had that big of a ripple effect across the economy and that it would result in wage earners across the board making more money, but it really doesn't. I mean, it has an impact. This will have an impact on people who make between $7.25 and maybe up to $8 an hour. It might be that, you know, if it goes up to $7.60, the employer paying $7.75 might feel pressure to increase a wage to remain competitive. But in this economy, with the unemployment where it is, that's not likely to happen. And it doesn't have the upward ripple effect that the caller was talking about.
Mm-hmm. And her figure is saying that 50% of the costs at this small manufacturing outfit where she works, 50% of that is our labor costs. So it can't help but affect the cost of goods.
Well, except that, I mean, I also found it interesting. She also mentioned that she doesn't pay any of her workers minimum wage. So, we're talking about not even 320,000 workers who make this wage, most of whom don't work 40 hours a week. So it doesn't have the broad impact on the economy that she's worried that it will. But the other thing that I would mention to her or the caller is, again, you know, when fuel costs go up, they go up. When healthcare costs go up, you know, every other part of the economy has an indexing to it. The only part that we make ourselves vote on is whether or not the lowest wage earners are going to get a raise or not. And we let those lowest wage earners languish for years until elected officials decide it's politically important enough to give them a raise. And I actually think that, you know, if we can index our tax code, if we can see the rate of inflation on all other parts of the economy, there's no reason that we should have to have a vote every 5, 6, 7 years on letting the poorest among us who are wage earners get a raise. They should have their wages indexed to inflation just like every other part of the economy.
Mm-hmm. What about the argument, Representative Mason, that no one should be languishing for years in a minimum wage job, that this is an entry-level position, you would presumably advance and get wage increases as you gain more skills?
Yeah, for some people that's true. For others, it's not. So again, you know, more than half, these are head of household. Of the 320-some thousand that I mentioned, are over 25. This is their wage. This is their head of household wage. So you've got, you know, almost 200,000 people in this state where this is the wage that they earn. And you'd like to believe that that they would advance in the economy and do better than that, hopefully get to a place where they're out of poverty, you know, somewhere between $10 and $11. But there are hundreds of thousands of people that are under that living wage level and hundreds of thousands of people who continue to make minimum wage. The reality is, for some employers, they will always offer the minimum wage that they're required to by the law. And so if that's the case, I think government has a role to play to be sort of the referee and be fair for employers, but also fair for employees, and say, look, if you want to employ Wisconsin residents, you've at least got to meet this minimum standard, a standard by the way, we're now, you know, there's more than 10 states that have a higher minimum wage than Wisconsin does, and they've not seen these huge increases in prices or massive increases of unemployment. They've seen exactly what I've laid out. They've seen an increase in spending power and brought their people a little bit closer to a living wage.
Next, we go to Maria in Waukesha. Hello, Maria.
Hi. As I told the screener, I pray for your representative. You have good intention, but unfortunately, you're fighting a losing battle in Wisconsin nowadays. Those poor people, unfortunately, they don't vote. They don't have the means to go and vote. therefore Republicans won't care and you will have opposition. I think we should empower them first to vote and to fight for their rights more than fight for a couple of cents.
Yeah.
They are not able to go and pay $300 for fundraising plate in a big hotel. Therefore, I don't think anyone will remember them. I'll pray for you. You're just like a prophet fighting for poor people. Good luck to you. I'll pray. And if we can help, let us know. Thank you.
Did you catch all of that, Representative Mason?
I think I got most of it. I mean, I think the gist of it was, you know, poor people making the minimum wage aren't the most likely to vote and aren't well-connected and don't go to $300 plate fundraisers, which is all a fair point. I mean, it is. I mean, what I'm advocating for here is a bill that will affect a lot of people who don't vote, who are on the margins of society, who are struggling to make ends meet. But I don't think that means that we don't have a responsibility to try and to work for those constituents who are affected by the minimum wage.
Yeah, she also thought that in a Republican-controlled legislature that this didn't have a chance of passing, does it?
Well, I hope, I mean, you know, Governor Walker has said he wants to turn a new page and be more bipartisan and work with people on both sides of the aisle and do right by workers. This would be a very modest and very easy proposal for him to embrace and hopefully find a way to increase the minimum wage for hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin workers. And the other thing I would say about the minimum wage is every time we've increased it, it's been a fight. It's never been easy, but I think if we're going to advocate for people making the minimum wage, we've got to try to have the fight every single time the legislature meets.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Corey Mason, Democratic State Representative from Racine. Thanks to Rob Ferret and to Amanda Magnus for producing the hour. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.